one here, the rowdies one there. They kick the ball around. The rowdies one here, the rowdies one there. Then they fall on the ground. Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are the pig in the grass.
Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, the editor of FrontRowSoccer.com, former Rochester Lancers reporter and a 2012 inductee into the Lancers Wall of Fame, Michael Lewis, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Faber Homes, Claridge Design Center, Olindo's, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Thanks very much for being with us tonight. We have lots of soccer news and commentary from all around the U.S. and the world this evening. It's down to the Final Four in the MLS playoffs and the championship matches in the USL and maybe the final soccer bowl for the North American Soccer League. We will have the on-site report from Yankee Stadium from Michael Lewis. The Columbus Crew knocked New York City FC out of the MLS playoffs yesterday. He'll also have the latest on the NASL legal situation with U.S. soccer. It gets more complicated by the minute. We'll have to hire a lawyer to explain the legalese, I guess, for our show. We'll have to get Charlie Shiano back, Joe.
Exactly.
Dick Howard was at BMO Field to see Toronto FC advance over the Red Bulls in a very, very tetchy contest, to say the least. And this week, it's the final qualifying matches for World Cup 2018 in Russia. They start this weekend. The last teams to get into the field of 32 will be decided. Dick will preview all of that on show tonight. Let's bring in our legendary host, Mr. Joe Sirianni, who is back from his monthly jaunt to the Italian-American Sport Club.
Let me say this beforehand, Andrew. I'm very thankful that Soccer Kick in the Grass has a great host like you. And certainly, I don't think that this show would be so prominent without, you know, if it wasn't for your efforts
and
organize and do all the things that you do. And to say the least, and probably the best, is that we do this for the love of soccer, and there is no money that we make. We just donate our, because we love the sport.
Well, it's not for lack of trying. Let's put it that way.
No,
we don't have a salary, which is fine. Like I said, we are very happy to do this show, and we appreciate WISL being a great partner as they've been for so many years, and hopefully continue to do so with our great sponsors. Dr. Olivo is going to be our title sponsor again next year, which is wonderful. I went to see him on the last week, got my teeth clean, of course, perfect health because I do everything my hygienist and Dr. Olivo tell me to do. And we're also thankful for all of our sponsors, you know, top-notch monogramming. Tony's been with us for so long. Salvatore's, so Soccer Sam's doing so much in this city right now. The new dog house is going to be owned by Soccer Sam. They're bringing back the Soccer Sam hot dogs they used to have over at the old restaurant where we watched the 2002 World Cup at hot dogs at 6 o'clock in the morning. We watched the U.S. against
that.
Portugal. I'll never forget that. Of course, Bernie Iacovangelo, Claridge Design Center, and Faber Homes, Olindo's, Cash and Carry, and this great time to visit Olindo's with the holidays coming up. Doug Miller Family Sport Park. They have a big event coming up this coming Friday with the Kids Off for Veterans Day. We'll tell you about that a little later on. Of course, Olindo also affiliated with St. Padre Pio Chapel near the Italian-American Community Center. And, of course, our good friend Enzo Scolo, who sponsored the Rhinos end-of-year celebration and awards ceremony over at the Exchange Sports Bar last Monday, where we had some visiting guests from their promotion and doing the awards ceremony. So, yeah, we thank all of our sponsors. And can't forget the Rhinos themselves, of course.
Exactly.
Without the Rhinos, there wouldn't be soccer in Rochester at the Division II level. So,
well, actually, Andrew, this is the appropriate time to give our condolence to Enzo Scolo for the passing of his father in Italy. So, Enzo, I'm sure you're not listening to us right now in Italy, but if you are, please accept our sincere condolence from Soccer Kick in the Grass and from me and Andrew personally. So I hope that you'll be back soon in the United States, and I hope to see you so I can give you my personal condolence. But anyway, Andrew, you know, we talk about soccer, and this is the show that's dedicated to soccer. And there's a lot of questions that come to my mind tonight that we're going to address, you know, the future of soccer in Rochester for all intent and purpose. Some of the reason why critics are saying the thing that they're saying, the success of the Rhinos versus the attendance, the revenue that they need to do to do some of the things that we complain about, me being one of them, say, why don't we get an Italian player? And, you know, I had a really nice conversation with Pat Ercoli, and I said, in order to have bring a caliber player that I want or that we want, you know, this costs money, and he's correct. So if the people, if the soccer fans in Rochester really want to see a better players, they need to attend. They need. We need to increase, you know, the attendance at the stadium. So, because that's money, you know, for all intents and purposes, we need to understand that the Rhino is an organization that it works for profit. That works for, you know, they have expenses and they expect revenue. So, for all the people that are thinking the negative and say it's a college kid, it's a college team. Yeah, if you want to see the play, you know, the players that you want to see, if you want to see better soccer, I'm not saying that this team is not any good. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. If you look at the Rhinos, they've been in the championship arena for almost every year they've been in existence. They've been in the final. They won the thing. So what more do we really expect? And there is a lot of the team in the league that are drawing tremendously better than the Rhino, much like we did before. So I know that there is a lot of excuse. I know that the venue is one of the problems. I know that people have a million excuses, the neighborhood, this and that. But at the end of the day, if you like soccer, then you have to make the sacrifice, you know, to attend and be counted among the people that really support soccer. If you are a soccer player, or if you belong in a league, or you play amateur soccer, what, you know, I value amateur soccer for sure, because that's where players progress. But instead of scheduling the game at the same time that the Rhinos are playing, why don't be at the Rhinos game? Why you think that you are much better than they are? If you were much better, you'd be over there playing the game. So, I mean, that's my it's a criticism. And then again, just for and I'll be quiet after that. The newspaper, how can Rochester went for the sublime to the condition that are now? They don't even say one little bit to think about the Rhinos. Why is that? The soccer is an international game. It's a game that is acclaimed and that's growing in the United States. Why are they taking this negative attitude toward the Rhinos and soccer in general? Why? They talk about the Bills. They talk about this. Bills are in Buffalo. The Rhinos are in Rochester. Can you explain that to me?
I've been waiting for you to finish. I didn't want to interrupt you because you were on a roll.
Yeah.
All right, to answer the second question first, and Jeff DeRonica has told me the same thing, that if stories do not get 1,000 clicks on their website, it goes against the reporter in their reviews. So they could potentially lose their jobs if they don't report on things that are going to generate a lot of clicks on their website. The selling of newspapers, because the business has completely changed. And this is why you have the Bills get a lot of coverage, because people want to hear about the Bills. High school gets a lot of coverage because the parents of the athletes want to see their children's name in print. So they click on the articles for the high school kids. But some of the things, I mean, I question, and I know a lot of people do, why was there NASCAR on the front page of the newspaper today? Nobody in the city cares about NASCAR. Come on, people. This is ridiculous. The Bills weren't playing because they played on Thursday night. So it's something that's very difficult, Joe, because you know, the Lancers got no coverage at all, literally zero coverage whatsoever. You wonder if they're going to have anything about the U.S. Open Cup match on the 19th, where the River Dogs, who are basically the Lancers, are playing for a chance to get into the U.S. Open Cup main draw next year. That's a big story. We could have two teams in the U.S. Open Cup next year. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. Your other question, I mean, people have been talking about this ever since the stadium opened, about what do you do to increase attendance. I maintain, I've said this since day one, you have to play the games during the day. You have to play the games at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. Play the games on Sunday at 2 o'clock, just like they used to do back in the NASL days with the Lancers. There were always games on Sundays at 2 o'clock. People would go to church, they'd have their early meal, and then they come to the Lancers matches. And I know there's always, they say, well, it's because that we don't have, there's conflicts with kids playing soccer or whatever. Well, this is where the league has got to step in and say, look, we're going to get the schedule out very early so people can make their plans, the leagues can adjust their schedules so you're not playing at the same time as the Rhinos. We only have the one team now. As a professional, of course, the Lancers play too. We're not slighting the Lancers by any means. I'm just saying the only professional team that we have in town now is the Rhinos. There's no Flash anymore, unfortunately. So we have to look at that and say, okay, this is a way to do it. So this way you get the senior citizens to come to games. If they go to Rockies for lunch during the week, they have no problem going to Rockies. They should have no problem going to the stadium. But it's the fact that they're playing the games at night, and this is what we're dealt with right now. This is the hand we have. There's no bluffing here. You just got to play with what you're dealt.
Well, let me just say another thing that probably is going to get me in trouble. But tomorrow is an election day, okay? And
be careful.
I know there is those people who help professional sports in Rochester, and there are those who do not. So from my point of view, okay, and I ask all the sports fans, all the soccer players, when you go and vote, think who supports soccer and vote accordingly.
I said that on when I hosted Soccer Sam's show on Saturday, and I said the same thing, but then I caveat and I said, you also have to vote for the issues that you care about. And if soccer's one of those, that's great. If it's something else, that's fine too. But the important thing tomorrow is to go out and vote.
Right.
No matter who you want to vote for, you could vote for Joe Sirianni, if you want to.
Yeah.
But just make sure you exercise your right, because there's countries in this world that they don't have that right to vote.
Right.
So take advantage of that right. Go out tomorrow all day. The polls are open here. There's a big races, so be sure to go out and vote. And vote for the candidates that you feel are going to do the best job for our Rochester area. And on that happy note, we're going to take our first break. We're going to get out of the Rochester area and go to international soccer with Dick Howard. We're going to talk about that incredible match between Toronto FC and Red Bulls yesterday from BMO Field. Dick was there. He'll tell us all about it. Plus, we'll talk about World Cup qualifying, the final teams getting into the Russia 2018 32 team schedule and playing in the World Cup in 2018. We'll talk about that next with Dick Howard on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at socceristhekickinthegrass.com.
Monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda,
Clash. Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Are you looking for a new dentist for your family? Dr. David Olivo has been caring for Rochester's dental needs for over 15 years and would welcome the opportunity to serve you. To make an appointment, call 328-3382. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's!
Are you looking to update the kitchen, bath, or flooring in your home, but don't know where to begin? Whether it's cabinetry, carpeting, hardwood flooring, tile, or kitchen and bathroom remodeling, Claridge Design Center in Chi Lai Fall Plaza is the place to start. Locally owned with over 25 years in business, Claridge Custom Designs and Builds quality remodeling projects throughout Rochester and Monroe County. At Claridge, the visions and ideas you have for your home are developed with the experienced Claridge designers to make your dream project a reality, and the quality of service you receive at Claridge is second to none. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call Claridge at 889-5800 or visit their website to meet the Claridge team. See examples of their finished work at ClarideDesignCenter.com.
Looking to save money on your weekly grocery bill? Visit Olindo's Cash and Carry at 1510 Lyle Avenue in Rochester. Olindo's provides Italian and Spanish items, imported and domestic cheeses, deli meats, and homegrown produce with a perfect blend of quality, selection, value, and personal service. Olindo's wholesale prices are the best around, and there's no membership fee. Call Olindo's at 647-1985 or visit them on the web at olindofoodservice.com.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame, and a 2013 inductee into the Rochester Lancers Hall of Fame, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
And the International Report with Dick Howard brought to you this and every week by our title sponsor, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, 2005 Lyle Avenue in Gates. And I can tell you about the construction because I just went there. You cannot get off at Lyle Avenue if you're coming north on 390. So if you're coming from 390, you want to get off at Chi Lai Avenue and go up Howard, or go up through Howard Road and go that way, or get off at Lexington, make the loop around onto Latona Road to Lee Road, and then you'll be right there at the office. So with the big construction for 390, it's going to be going on for a while. Matter of fact, Joe, it's funny. When I got my teeth cleaned, I could see the new on-ramp that they're building for off-ramp to 390. Yeah. But anyway, if you're coming from the north, no problem. You get off at 390. We can also go down Mount Reed Boulevard to Lyle Avenue and get there that way. The important thing is to get there because Dr. Olivo is one of the finest dentists in the city of Rochester, and their staff is number
incredible.
One.
Incredible. I have my teeth cleaned, too, and this new woman that he's got over there is fantastic.
Absolutely.
And I also said that we were, you know, the lady that make the things go over there, and now she's got an assistant, and that's
Roseanne. And 2 weeks in a row we've called Roseanne.
Yeah.
Which she deserves.
You know, Roseanne is an amazing woman. She's cordial. She embodied the quality of Dr. Olivo.
Let's put it this way. Roseanne has been at that practice when I was in school. I won't say what year of school, but I was still in school when she was with the practice. Started there.
She looks very young, though.
Yes, of course she does. She keeps herself smiling with the great with that great dentistry. They have a Dr. Olivo Family Dentistry. Number to call, 328-3382 or davidolivodmd.com. Dick, boy, what a match yesterday. I was on the edge of my seat with every kick of the ball between when I was with the Red Bulls and Toronto FC. It was just a...
It was not a classic, physical. Unfortunately. The things that were boiled over from the first game, in fact, involving Sasha Kleschin and Jose Altidore and Michael Bradley got into it, and it became even more so in the game in Toronto at BMO Field. And it wasn't helped, you know, it was inconsistent officiating by Chris Penso, which didn't help matters. But certainly the lack of self-discipline of players on both teams didn't help matters. And of course, you probably read about the incident in the tunnel at the end of the first half. Nobody knows who threw the first punch, but they certainly had a punch-up in the tunnel, the players and the staff of both teams. And as a result, unfortunately, Jose Altidore is red-carded, second yellow or a red card, and he's out of the game against Columbus. And another player that TFC have relied on to do the business in games, unfortunately, Sebastian Giovinco, he lost his cool and started berating the referee late in the game, and he got a yellow card, so he's also out of the Columbus game. So doesn't augur too well for Toronto. They need all the players they can against what will be a very competitive Columbus team.
It's going to be a great series. With these two teams have been rivals for many years. And Giovinco, like I said, lost his cool, I think, is putting it mildly. He basically, he claims he was pushed over. The commentators didn't seem to think so, but I thought he was pushed over. But
there were several. There should have been a penalty kick for Toronto in the first half. And that's why, as I say, the inconsistency of the officiating didn't help matters. And knowing what it was like in the first game, I think officials almost have to clamp down right from the opening whistle if there's any things carried over from the previous game. He didn't. He let it get out of control. And once it's out of control, as you both well know, it's very difficult then to re-stump your authority.
But it didn't help that Sasha gave Josie a little love tap, and he went down like he was shot out of a
Well, this is it, isn't it? You see it all the time. Players get a little touch, and, you know, a 185-pound player suddenly is lying like a sack of potatoes on the ground, you know, and writhing around. It doesn't help matters for match officials, and I do empathize with them, and there's certainly many cases of that in the game yesterday at BMO Field.
What was really funny, Dick, and you didn't see this because you weren't watching on TV, but the commentators at the start of the second half, they were calling the game, and all of a sudden, I forget who the play-by-play guy was, but he said, "I think that there's only 10 men out there for each team." He didn't realize that there had been two red cards shown, and I guess the producer must have passed him something and said there was an incident in the tunnel, and both Altidore and Kleschen were sent out. They were yellow-carded in the first half. And the question is, and I don't know if this has been answered, were they given straight reds in the tunnel? Because that could mean Josie could miss potentially more than one match.
Yeah, it's true.
Disastrous.
And then the sad thing is that Michael Bradley, Jose Altidore, and Sasha Kleschen are all, you know, U.S. national team players. You know, they play together for the national team, and obviously things happen, and, you know, with the trash talk, but they don't really like one another, the two teams, and the coaches are ready to admit that.
Coaches were into it too, actually, as well. So,
well, Dick, can I just, if things happen in the tunnel, does the referee has the jurisdiction over the tunnel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
There's things that happen, and as I say, we just saw blurry images of what happened, but there was talk as the players left the field, and then suddenly all hell seemed to break loose. Security personnel were involved, and a very nasty incident. Not a great advertisement for the game.
Absolutely. I mean, there was one incident I remember when I worked for the Rhinos back in the day at Frontier Field, where there was an altercation in the tunnel between Nevio Pizzolitto of the Montreal Impact and Lennon Steenkamp.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. And, yeah, there was a sucker punch thrown, and there was a lot of things going on. But anyway, that was par for the course with those two teams. But anyway, it's going to be Toronto against Columbus. Columbus will have the first match after the international break. And they need to be, Toronto City really needs to be careful, because look what Columbus did to New York City FC. They went out to a 4-1 lead, and it was too much for NYCFC to come back from. And the winner will play either Houston or Seattle in the championship game, and the East will host the championship game, whether it be Columbus or Toronto. So it's going to be very interesting when we resume the MLS playoffs in about a week and a half's time.
Yeah, a lot of important games coming up with qualifying, obviously, for the World Cup, and the international break takes over. But, Joe, can you tell me, how can a team that is second in the Serie A have so much problems with a team that's in 20th position?
You know, I
couldn't believe that Juventus Benevento result.
Let me tell you, it was a disaster for Juventus in the first half. But I can remember something that you said, that sometime the team that are on the bottom are the ones that have the stamina, mm-hmm. and they have the desire to prove themselves. And, you know, the adrenaline flows. You know, sometimes the situation goes in their favor, you know, as far as playmaking is concerned. And the goal that they scored, and it was a beautiful goal. You know, that...
Free kick goal on me.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of talk about... I watched the Domenica Sportiva, and there's a lot of talk about how good Benevento was how bad Juve was in the first half. And they were wondering what the coach must told them, you know, for them to come and regain their composure and finally win. It is one of those games where... You know, if you're at the top of the table, everybody wants a little bit of your scalp.
Well, look at what happened with Chelsea and Crystal Palace.
Our sport is one where that can happen, as we've said before. Chelsea 1, Manchester United 0. Well done, Andrew. Are you happy?
He's wearing the Chelsea shirt right now.
I'm very happy. But like I was just saying, that Crystal Palace, who hadn't even scored a goal since the previous season, beat Chelsea earlier this year to get their first win. So, I mean, any team in the top flight can beat any other team on any given day.
That's the great thing about the game,
There's always a chance for a lower level side too, but a team at the bottom to beat a team at the top. But I tell you, that loss to Burnley, Dick, early in the year is now looking not so bad, considering Burnley's up to seventh place in the Premiership right now.
They're doing very well. You know, Sean Dyche, obviously the coach, is getting a lot of print, but I know they're doing exceptionally well. And as are Everton, finally got a result.
Coming back from
2-0 down to win 3-2. Over a very competitive Watford squad who missed a penalty kick late in the game. So, Evan, hopefully, will bounce back. Temporary manager David Unsworth, who's got blue blood going through his veins, so he'll, I'm sure, get a due consideration and taken over from the team for the rest of the season. But we shall see. Bottom line is, Evan finally got on the score sheet and won a game.
Yay. Well, Dick or Joe, I know that you're nervous about what's coming up this coming weekend on Friday, the first leg of the European knockout second place matches. Sweden will host Italy, and it's not going to be a cakewalk. Sweden's a quality side, and they were that close to getting in and finishing in first place.
I watched a preview of the game on Italian Rai, and you know, they show the team that have arrived in Sweden. And how the population of Sweden is reacting to this game, because there was once before where Sweden beat Italy, okay, and now they're looking for a repetition of that. Mm-hmm. But
Sweden scored a lot of goals in the qualifying. Weren't they 26 goals? They were, I think, one of the top teams in qualifying, and they got some good experienced players. But still fancy Italy. I think they came out of a difficult group with Spain. Obviously, that's going to be first or second between those two.
They brought in.
So I think the Italy will come through in the end, Joe.
I don't know what it'll bring. I really don't know why they don't bring Giovinco in the squad.
Or Balotelli, he's scoring goals as fast as he's getting red cards.
Yeah.
You're right, Joe. Well, the reason why they're not bringing Giovinco in is because he's in the middle of the playoffs. I mean, this would not be a good time for that. But I think he certainly should be considered
to
for
be
the World Cup squad if they get there. That's going to be Friday and Monday, both matches on Fox Sports 1. The other qualifying knockout matches are Croatia and Greece. You know, there's a lot of Greeks in Rochester. I know will be very interested in that one. That's going to be on Thursday and Sunday. Northern Ireland against Switzerland. I know that a lot of people are pulling Dick for Northern Ireland. They were one of the darlings of Euro, but Switzerland is so strong.
Switzerland, they won 9 out of 10 games in Group B, you know, and still finished second. It'll be tough. Northern Ireland will have tremendous support at home, but... to say it's their World Cup debut in regards to playoff games, so it might not end the way they want it to, but they've done exceptionally well. and say with the home crowd, they could get that 12th man helping them. But if you look at it on paper, the Swiss are just too strong, too experienced to fail at this time.
And the final qualification matches is Denmark against Ireland, two teams that certainly have had their pedigree in the World Cup in the past. That'll be on Fox Sports 2. That's a Saturday and then Tuesday matches. But, Dick, the other things going on, Africa has got a very big match on Saturday, South Africa against Senegal. If Senegal win, they are in the World Cup. But if South Africa can win, that group is in complete chaos. You'll have
because they're both playing in South Africa and in Senegal the two games, so it's going to be very interesting. And then especially South Africa missing the goalkeeper Kone, who's out injured. He's been a key player over the years, but it's a must-win, obviously, for South Africa. And I personally think that Senegal might just have a bit too much for the Bafana.
And then Saturday also we have Tunisia. If they win or draw against Libya, they are in. Otherwise, Congo could get in. I believe that would be the first time that they would ever have qualified.
You put your money on Tunisia.
I think Tunisia as well. But I think the biggest match is Cote d'Ivoire, otherwise known as the Ivory Coast, against Morocco. And with the Cote d'Ivoire hosting, but Morocco only needs a draw to get into the World Cup.
That's right.
So
yeah,
that's going to be a very, very good match.
Must win for the elephants, but the positive thing is Wilfried Zaha is coming to play for them, making his debut for the Cote d'Ivoire. There's now, of course, no Didier Drogba to win through and get important goals. So that's a good positive thing for Cote d'Ivoire, and I think they might just edge it because they'll have that 12th man in the crowd.
It's going to be a very good series, or good match there. Then there's the two intercontinental matches that we've got, and both involve Oceania. Well, not officially, but I mean, Australia is considered Oceania for most geography classes. Honduras and Australia will play at 5 o'clock on Friday in the first leg in Honduras. It'll be on Telemundo and Universal NBC. I think that's a toss-off. I really think that could go either way. I think really the home crowds in both legs, I think, are going to be very key, because Honduras playing at home, I think Australia's probably never experienced anything like they're going to experience in Honduras.
I fancy Australia. I think it's going to be a very close series, as you mentioned. I think if Team Cahill is fit, he got two goals in the Asian playoff series against Syria, and is an important player. And then they've got good, solid depth in players, but as you rightly mentioned, the crowd in Honduras is very intimidating, as is the crowd in Stadium Australia in Sydney. You know, that's a big stadium, and they love their Socceroos.
Yeah, that's one of the most intriguing ties, I think, in the entire world, because it's two completely different cultures, completely different styles of play, completely different countries. You couldn't ask for anything more different. It's going to be fascinating to watch that one. The other intercontinental one is New Zealand, the All Whites, against Peru, a team that certainly was down in the dumps in South America and really rallied to get into that playoff spot. And I think Peru will probably have too much for New Zealand, but the first match is in New Zealand, and that's a long, long trip for the Peruvians. So,
yeah, good point. I think you hit a nail on the head there. The travel arrangements, you know, they probably rely on charters to get them from point A to point B, but I just fancy that the teams playing the second game are going to have the edge, so I give the edge in that series to Peru.
You know, Dick, I just want to make one quick observation on the nice analysis that you and Andrew are doing. But the point that it's really intriguing to me is the fact that much like you have professed in the past, is that look at all these countries that, you know, 5 years ago, they were not even in the running to be in the World Cup. And now they have progressed so much that they are, you know, countries that you never heard before are going to the World Cup, have the opportunity to go to the World Cup. So soccer is really evolving, not only in America, but also throughout, you know, the world.
Yeah, no, it's so true, isn't it, that you see the development over the years and players that are playing all over the world, not just in their own native country, and that, I think, is making it even more interesting. And what is interesting, guys, women's national team game, I'm looking forward to it on Thursday night, Canada-USA, a BC place, and it'll be a good measure for Canada because they're not calling back any players based in Europe. They're going with a lot of young ladies who are making their debut for the national team, so we'll see how that goes. And then I think the second game is in the States next week, is it not?
Thursday it's in Vancouver. I believe it's in San Jose on Sunday, the two teams. The eternal rivals, U.S. and Canada, will be playing again this coming week. Should be some great matches. But, Dick, enjoy the matches. It should be a lot of fun, a lot to talk about next Monday.
Always something. Great. Yeah. Ciao, Joe.
Ciao. And
bye-bye, Dick.
Cheerio, the way you say it.
Thanks so much for being with us, Dick, as always.
Okay,
Dick,
guys. And that was a great traffic report you gave at the start of the program.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I appreciate that. I may have a new career. Who knows? Yeah. Well, Dick Howard, of course, here on Soccer is the Kick of the Grass. You can hear the international report every week on our show. When we come back, we'll be joined by Michael Lewis, and we'll have the U.S. Soccer Report. We'll talk about the MLS playoffs and the latest on the lawsuit with the North American Soccer League and U.S. Soccer. Will the NASL be back next year? We'll talk to Michael next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com. Rosanna, Rosanna, never thought that a girl like you could ever care for me. Rosanna.
Your local sports leader. You're listening to AM 1040 WYSL Avon Rochester, FM 92.1, W221CL Rochester, and WYSL1040.com.
Your family is growing, and it's time for a new home. Why buy a used house with someone else's style when you can afford a new Faber home, built to suit your taste and your needs? Start fresh, build new with Faber. Faber Homes can customize your home to meet your wishes and dreams. Faber Homes is now building in 6 locations. Visit the Faber Homes website at faberhomes.com and find the plan of your dreams or a quick deliver home. Give Faber Homes a call today at 247-4800 or visit faberhomes.com for our current incentives. Faber Homes, great price.
St. Padre Pio Chapel, located at 141 Frank Domino Way in Gates, is a great place to visit for thought and reflection. The chapel is open daily from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and you can have a tour of the chapel on request. To arrange for a tour, please call Pia Pelosi at 621-6703.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo. Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's A Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
Coosh, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. It's the U.S. Soccer Report with the editor of FrontRowSoccer.com, former Rochester Lancers reporter and a 2012 inductee into the Lancers Wall of Fame, Michael Lewis.
Yeah, guest. A little wrestling music on the show tonight, suggested by Mr. Michael Lewis. And don't forget, there's only one authority in professional wrestling, and you're listening to him. And I'm just doing soccer, too, here. The U.S. Soccer Report brought to you by the Doug Miller Family Sport Park, 4618 Ridge Road West in Spencerport, 352-5300, or dmfsp.com. Speaking of great Americans, it's Veterans Day coming up this weekend, so thank you to all of our veterans who are supporting and helping and protecting our country. Doug Miller Family Sport Park having a special Veterans Day soccer clinic this Friday because the kids are off from school, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., $40. Go to the website dmfsp.com for more information. And, Michael, the reason, for those who didn't see the Toronto FC New York Red Bulls match, the reason we alluded to it earlier, there was a big bust-up in the tunnel between Sasha Kljestan and Jozy Altidore, and Michael made a comment to me that it looked like the WWE was taken over. And you know, Toronto and New York, Michael, are big wrestling towns, so I'm not surprised, actually.
It's a pity on what happened there. Obviously, it's a he said versus he said situation. I know there's a number of videos out there. One intriguing one that's bouncing around the internet about the incident. You really can't maybe see as much as you'd like to, unless maybe you go to slow motion. But I would like to think and hope that MLS will do a diligent job of trying to figure out what the heck happened there. There are guilty parties. I cannot begin to say who did what to whom before anyone else, but I hope there's some justice meted out. Obviously, both players, well, Altidore will be suspended for the first game of Toronto's Eastern Conference final series against Columbus. I would assume Kljestan will get a one-game suspension entering next year, since this was his final game this year. Because of what happened there, I would like to think there'll be fines and perhaps further suspensions. Again, I'm not going to say who's right, who's wrong, who started it, because I think there's just a lot of gray area there. Not gray matter. That's not a very smart thing to do, whoever did it, but gray area. And a sad bit of news for soccer. Of course, this has happened elsewhere in the world, so I guess if I want to be a smart aleck and say, hey, we're becoming like other countries. Now we're fighting in the tunnel. But it's something seriously you just don't want to see.
Well, there is one more.
Michael caught himself there.
Yeah, there is one more person should be blamed, and that's the referee.
Absolutely. He's the one who really should be blamed because he let that game get out of control. It just completely got out of hand, and the referee knew it was going to be a very both teams are going to be on edge because of the match. It happened at Red Bull Arena. There was a lot of questionable calls in that match, and it just boiled over. Now, I'm looking at the box score, Michael. I asked Dick about this. It looks like Kljestan and Altidore both got straight red cards in the tunnel. They don't see a yellow and a red on the MLS site showing it was a second yellow because they both were booked for unsporting behavior in the first half. So I'm wondering, has it been officially announced if Altidore is going to miss just the one game, or may he be suspended for the whole series, potentially?
That obviously would hurt Toronto big time, the way Columbus has been playing. Well, at least the first leg of the series, Columbus showed up and just tried to get out of Yankee Stadium with a 2-0 loss and not give up a third goal, or if they had, try to score one themselves to lay matters to rest. You know, the more I'm thinking about the incident, this is something just out of, like, Slapshot in hockey, that great classic film that was released 40 years ago, believe it or not, but just so much chaos there. If anything, as well, too, hopefully MLS will review locker room procedures coming in and out of the locker room, particularly going in at halftime. I think there's got to be a lot more security there. There seem to be a lot of people in the tunnel area there, and I don't know if that's the case at every arena, but I think that is something that has to be reviewed for the safety of the players and the workers at the game, too. You just don't want to see this again. And keeping my fingers crossed, it won't happen for a long time.
I hope not. But you mentioned about the Yankee Stadium game. I watched that game as well, and I really thought the NYCFC was going to knock a third goal in. But then, you know, Columbus made a tactical change. They put an extra, I believe, extra center back in, and that really just stifled NYCFC. They couldn't do anything after about the 60th minute. But Joe, I know, is sad because we saw the last kick ever of the great Andrea Pirlo. He made a cameo appearance. Actually, was pretty poor, to be frank. To be frank, in the few chances he had, he played terrible passes. But Joe, I know he's a great player.
One of the things that I know is that you know, players that are great, you know, and they keep once they reach a retirement age, so to speak. They should go in glory, and not in, you know, not in dismay of the inability to perform the way they used to, because that's what people expect. So Andrea Pirlo will remain one of the best players that ever played on the national team and Juventus and other club, but playing finish his career the way he did, I don't know that it's going to be a plus for him or not.
You know, what it's do you funny think, you mentioned Mike? That using an example from another sport. I thought Willie Mays, the great Willie Mays, stayed maybe a year or two too long with the New York Mets, because for someone who used to roam and master center field, he had a lot of problems there in his final years with the New York Mets. But yeah, it was a really tough season for Pirlo. He lost his job. He wasn't playing well. Actually, the team had a losing record when he was started games, which obviously does not help things. I know he came on in the 90th minute for Ronald Matarrita yesterday. It goes officially in the books as 1 minute, although he played 5 minutes of extra time. And he tried to make something happen, but he had a couple of passes that went well far out of the reach of his teammates. It would have been, I mean, if this was a storybook, we all know what would have happened. He would have sent a pass to one of the forwards. They would have scored. Boom. You know, that's the closest thing about the going out in glory, but it wasn't meant to be. It's sad, but let's face it, he's had a fabulous career. I mean, playing for the 2006 World Cup champions, Italy, when beforehand, a lot of people didn't give him much of a shot to win in 2006. So, and he's had a 22-year career, which is unheard of, playing 22 mm-hmm. years. So, no doubt, I think people will, throughout the world, will maybe get amnesia when about his final year with NYCFC, because he had done so much with the various clubs in Italy and Europe and with the Italian national team.
Yeah,
it would not be fair to remember Andrea Pirlo for the 2017 MLS season.
That's very true. Well, the other big thing that happened in Rochester over the weekend, we had the president of U.S. Soccer, Sunil Gulati, in town. Joe, you were there, but it didn't really talk too much about the political or the end of things. It was more about youth soccer, which is what he was there for. Actually, for this appearance of Rochester.
He took a question and answered. The question had to be on a written form, and they had another gentleman over there from Western New York Soccer that presented the question, and he answered the question. They didn't take many questions from the floor. I requested to have an interview with him, and they turned me down. They said that he doesn't do no interviews. And so that's the way it went. But it was very well attended. It was very well organized in the sense of people attending. They had over they had a reservation for 250 people. I think they probably had about 200, you know. But it was a 2 days affair, which it culminated in a good positive way, because they talk about the enhancement that you viewed, the teaching for the new referee, or referees. They did all the things that are important to enhance soccer, and they talked about how many kids our soccer has really progressed throughout the years, and where we are right now, and where we need to be. And they also talked a little bit about scouting, you know, amongst themselves in the floor, and you know, they repeated the same thing that we talked about. You know, there's a lot of great players in America, that they're high school kids, college kids, and that they don't have the opportunity to be seen by anybody. So they are going to develop a scouting program.
That's
you know,
cool.
To be able to you know, bring in people, bring in players from all sorts of life.
That's great news. And you can, if you search on YouTube for Sunil Gulati, New York State West Soccer, you'll find the whole press a Q&A session. You'll find it out there, so you can watch and see exactly what Mr. Gulati said. But Michael, the big news today in that regard, regarding the presidency, is another name was thrown in the hat with Eric Winalda and Paul Caligiuri and other legalese people. Kyle Martino, who is very young, 36, 37 years old, well known playing for the Columbus Crew. Now he's a commentator on NBC for soccer. He has now announced he's going to run for president of U.S. Soccer. So it's getting more and more interesting as the days go on.
Yeah, the field is getting quite crowded. We'll see, you know, he's an intriguing candidate. I want to know more about him. I want to find out more about his philosophy and drill down on the details. And I would love to see, at the present time, we've got, seven candidates out there. I would love to see some sort of a debate or forum where everyone shows up. I know Sunil Gulati has not announced his candidacy yet, but it would be great to have either, let's say, the seven that have mentioned, maybe if Sunil throws his hat into the ring soon, to have eight. And who knows? I mean, every day of the week, it seems now, every time you turn around, there's someone new entering the race. And no, I am not entering the race before anyone asks that question.
I just thought of somebody else who should consider entering the race. Charlie Sciano.
He would
straighten things out with U.S. soccer, that's for sure. Believe me. Anyway, speaking of the situation, of course, there's a lot of talk about, Michael, with what's going on with U.S. soccer, and certainly it's part of the situation with that is the North American Soccer League. And on Saturday, you broke the news that just came out that the U.S. District Court had rejected the NASL's lawsuit against U.S. Soccer to remain as a second division team. But today there was more developments from that situation. So could you give us the latest, please?
Well, the latest that I know of is that the North American Soccer League has put in an appeal on the ruling. They're going to have to wait a while before I think that case is heard. You just don't know what is going to happen with the league. And as we all know, this week is the championship game with two teams one says that they're not going to come back next year, and the other one is owned by Rocco B. Camiso, who's the chairman of the NASL, who is spearheading the lawsuit. And we don't know if this is going to be the final game of the NASL, or is it going to be just the last game of the 2017 season. A lot of people are looking at this game, obviously, as an historic event. It's funny because you've got two coaches who have done very well under really trying conditions in that game. Cosmos, Giovanni Severisi, and Mark Dos Santos of San Francisco, who's held the team together despite all the rumors, stories that the team won't be back next year. But it's we just don't know what's going to happen to the league at the moment. No one is talking on the record at the present time.
No surprising.
What will be an alternative, Mike, to, a merger?
You know, I just, there are some teams in, you know, in the NASL or their owners, I don't think they would want to go into the USL. And I think there's just bad blood there, and it'll be difficult to, I think, to get together. I mean, I thought of one thing, and this is just off the top of my head, that maybe if the NASL says, okay, we'll go down to Division III at least but for next year, but they're going to say, hey, we might be Division III to U.S. soccer, but to us, we are actually Division II. In other words, sell themselves as Division II to everyone else. I don't know if that works, but to me, the only way they're going to survive, because I don't think they're going to get a decision in time for teams to move forward. I think you've got to, the minute your season is over, yes, you take a deep breath, take some time off, but then you have to start planning for next year. No team these days can, you know, wait until January, let's say, to start planning. So they're going to have to make some very hard decisions over the next few days or weeks.
It's going to be a great off season. Very interesting. The presidency will be decided in February, and we'll see how things shake up. Michael, thanks so much for being with us as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, my pleasure, and I know there'll be some more news to talk about.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Michael. Michael Lewis here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, live from New York. We're right back to wrap things up here on the show on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, L.A., Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm a crack forming in your water pipe. I may be too tiny to notice, but not anymore. And if you got sold the wrong home insurance, you might get swamped by cleanup costs. So get Allstate.
Call East Rochester Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo at 585-381-3530 today.
Looking to save money on your weekly grocery bill? Visit Olindo's Cash and Carry at 1510 Lyle Avenue in Rochester. Olindo's provides Italian and Spanish items, imported and domestic cheeses, deli meats, and homegrown produce with a perfect blend of quality, selection, value, and personal service. Olindo's wholesale prices are the best around, and there's no membership fee. Call Olindo's at 647-1985 or visit them on the web at olindofoodservice.com.
The Rochester Rhinos players and staff would like to thank all the fans for supporting them during 2017 at Capelli Sports Stadium and for the last 22 years. Information on 2018 Rhinos season ticket packages will be available soon, so be sure to visit rhinosoccer.com for the latest news or call 454-KICK. The Rhinos will be back for another exciting year of soccer this coming spring.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti and Joe Ricard Sirianni. Before we wrap the show up, we just want to mention the U.S. Open Cup third qualifying match will be the Rochester River Dogs, the Lancers B team against Minneapolis City SC from the NPSL. It's going to be November 19th, Sunday, 1 p.m. at Thornell Farm Park, the turf field in Pittsford on Route 64, right around the corner from Pittsford Menin High School. It's free parking, free admission. Come out and support the Rochester River Dogs as they try to make the main draw of the U.S. Open Cup. If they win, they're in. So we'll wish them all the best there. And this has been Andrew Battisti with Joe Sirianni, Dick Howard, Michael Lewis, and Bob D'Angelo in the control room at WYSL. We'll be with us next Monday at 6:30 for Soccer is the Kick in the Grass here on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at socceristhekickinthegrass.com.
When an update.
Good night, everyone.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Faber Homes, Claridge Design Center, Olindo's, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.